Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Jen Bishop with Diagnosis Daytime, and welcome to our podcast. Today's topic of discussion will be celebrating the upcoming holiday of Halloween and discussing the storyline with Kevin and Ryan switching the twinning and what we like about it, what we think might be able to change, and what our hopes are with the storyline. With me, I have Melissa.
Hi.
And I have Maria.
Hello.
Hi, ladies. So let's go ahead and get started. Thank you for joining me. Just a little bit about this story. As most of you who are listening have been probably watching the show, Kevin and Ryan have traded places. It was revealed several months ago that Kevin had been keeping Ryan at Ferncliff. He had been doing some studies to hopefully help his brother and make him better. Ryan has now taken Kevin's place, has Kevin locked up at Ferncliff. And nobody seems to know him for trials yet, but I kind of like with the story the fact that many believe that Ryan died like 20 years ago or so. So their first instinct isn't that, hey, this is Ryan, but they do know that there's something off about Kevin. And so I do like that we're getting kind of a smart reaction to all of this, and there isn't any of those moments where you're just like, oh my gosh, why doesn't this person know this is Kevin? Or this is Ryan, I'm sorry. And I really like kind of this the way the story's playing out with Laura, which I'm really glad that Jeannie's back, but I like how Laura definitely knows there's something up with Kevin, but she's not quite sure what. She's very confused by it. And it seems kind of like she's thinking, well, maybe Kevin's just not that into me anymore. The time apart was too long. What's going on? I also like that they're kind of keeping the sex out of it a bit. It would have been kind of gross, really, if Ryan had gave him to Laura's advances. She's been missing her husband and wants some time with him. But I really like how they're playing it so they don't cross that line, you know. And I think this is going to be a really great story for Jeannie's return. She was gone a while, and she said, you know, I'll come back if they give me a good story. And I think this is a good story that they've given her. I also like that they've brought in Ava Jerome into the mix as a possible love interest for Ryan, actually. Ava, she's one of those characters where she just kind of can't help herself and always does these bad things, but she wants to be better. And I like that they have Ryan really drawn to her darker side and not quite getting that she doesn't want to, that she wants to be better and that she doesn't want to just go on that serial killer like he does. And so I think that was really a smart move to do that. They have John and Mara both have really good chemistry. And so I'm really looking forward to what they do with that aspect of it. Maria, what are your thoughts? What are you enjoying?
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that Jeannie's back. I really am. I think she was definitely needed in this Kevin Ryan story. You know, there would have been a big hole without her. So for that, I'm grateful that she's back. And for this story to really work, they need to use the vets, like Jeannie and Ken and Mac and Felicia, because they're really important to the story. Because I think since they were involved in the past, it's kind of a nice way of just coming in full circle now, using them. And I love the fact that Ava is thrown in the mix because Mara is just so great. And the fact that she's all mad at Kiki and she wants revenge. And Ryan is like, he seems like he's almost enamored of her. So I really like that part of it. But I really would like to see more creepy Ryan. Right, I've been watching old clips, and man, the Ryan back in 92 was really creepy. He played it really well, and I want to see some dead bodies, you know. Come on, it's time to kill people.
Yes.
Let's kill off Peter. Let's start with Peter.
We can give him a list. There we go.
Yeah, I have a list.
Melissa, what are your thoughts on this story?
Yeah, I agree that it was a smart move to start with the focus of having the vets. I especially like that episode where Felicia heard about the story being run on Ryan, and she had those flashbacks. It was done smart to give viewers kind of an overall story arc of what Ryan was like in case they didn't watch the original episodes that aired in 1992 or around that time. But I also agree with Maria. I want to see more creepy Ryan. I kind of want to see him. I think he's switched his fixation to Ava. And I would like to see him kind of stalk her the way he did Felicia back in the day. So I think his fixation and his obsession is kind of switched gears.
Yeah, I definitely would like to see that too. I feel like right now they're kind of setting up a lot of stuff, but they haven't quite pushed it yet. So I'm hoping they kind of, you know, pull that trigger a bit and start having him. I mean, there's a lot of hints of the creepiness. Like, there was a scene earlier this week where he was talking to Laura and he was kind of twisting that knife around in his hand. And he almost kind of expected him to attack her. And, like, they've seen him, like, playing with, like, cords and stuff, like he wants to strangle someone. But we haven't actually seen it yet. And I'm sure there are going to be some victims and stuff coming up. I mean, there's obviously some rumors out there about who those victims will be. But I do feel like you said, the way he was with Felicia, I don't feel like he's completely transferred over from Felicia to Ava yet. So maybe that's why he hasn't gotten quite that creepy with Ava yet. But yeah, I would like to see him start stalking her and maybe like going online, finding out a bunch of information on her and talking to some of the people in her life and stuff, you know, kind of up that creep factor, and hopefully we get there. Because I think John is really amazing at playing this, and one thing Jennifer Hostel is lacking is a really good villain. A lot of times when they bring villains on, they end up humanizing them afterwards, or they're not really a villain, they're just misunderstood, and they have a lot of anti-heroes on campus, so I'd like to see a change up with that, and I think Ryan is actually breath of fresh air because he's truly a bad guy.
Yeah, there's no redeeding him. There really isn't.
No. There
but that's good.
Yeah.
That's good, you know. Because on the flip side, we have Kevin, who is the good guy. But I think Kevin has a lot to answer for once all this is, you know, out in the open, because he kind of unleashed Ryan on everyone. So I hope they play that part out. You know, they need to play those beats also, because, you know, I would be asking, well, why did you hide him? Why didn't you tell anybody? You know, because he's done that to Kevin before, where he impersonated him. So this is nothing new. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how people react to Kevin afterwards.
Yeah, I think Kevin's going to feel a lot of guilt when he does come out of this. Because, you know, here he's put all his friends and family in danger by keeping this secret, because they have no reason to believe that, you know, quote unquote, Kevin who's running around Port Charles is really Ryan. You know, if they had known that, hey, Ryan is alive and he's locked up in Ferncliff in a padded room, there might have been some people that would have been like, wait a minute, this isn't Kevin. But because he kept secret from them, it's, they don't know. And stuff's going to happen that's not going to be able to be reversed. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what would you like to see happen to Ryan once the story arc is over? Would you like to see him killed off again? Or a long story arc where there's a trial and it goes to prison. What are your thoughts on that?
It's going to depend on how the story goes for me, I think. I mean, at the end of the story, if I feel like maybe the payoff needs to be that he dies, like if he's got enough destruction where I'm just like, okay, you need that really good, this is the payoff that's going to fit it, you know, that he dies and stuff again, then, you know, yeah, I think that would be a great way to go. But, you know, we brought him back now, too, and so should we maybe keep him around so that we have this supervillain that can pop up every once in a while? You know, we don't have, Constance Powers could, you know, potentially come back at any time, but we don't really have Hillian anymore. We don't have Faison anymore. So maybe he could kind of, you know, take that place so that, you know, and I'd kind of go the same with Mel. We've got her alive and out there, and she's nuts. So, you know, she can come back at any time, and maybe they can do something like that with Ryan. But it's going to really depend on how the story plays out, whether I want him dead at the end or not.
Yeah.
So what are you?
I think with Ryan, though, you know, once he's caught, what else, you know, if he does come back, what else is he going to do impersonate Kevin for the third time? You know, I think it would just kind of be redundant unless they figured something else out for him. I don't know if I'd want to see him come back again. But you're right. We do need more villains. I mean, the villains we have are so lame, you know. We need some good villains. So.
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting if there was a trial and he was convicted and maybe sentenced to death. You know, I don't know if they have a death penalty in their version of Port Charles, New York, but it would be an interesting beat to kind of play that out.
You know,
and
that
actually
could be,
execute him?
It could be interesting because they could kind of bring in a lot of, I think that might actually bring in some discussion and stuff like that. You know, people could be like, okay, is this the right thing to do with this character? You know, would Kevin still want to fight for Ryan's life and try to save him from that? And, you know, would Ava want to? You know, I'm kind of interested to see, I'm very interested to see what Ava's reaction is going to be once all is said and done and she realizes that this man she thought was a great man who was her kindred spirit and helping her out is actually a serial killer, and, you know, I mean, she might just be like, you know, dang, I'm a serial killer, I track these type of guys, but I wonder what she'll think when she finds it out, what that will make her feel about herself, so that would be interesting.
Yeah. I would like to see more interaction between Franco and Ryan, because it was interesting when that scene at the bar when he mistaken Ava for Felicia and that look that Franco gave him like, dude, what are you doing? You know, you're coming off kind of weird. And we haven't really had much more after that. So I really hope that they would have some therapy sessions between them where Franco is kind of going, wait a minute, you know, you're telling me stuff that you never told me before, you know, you're singing a different tune now. What's going on? And have him become suspicious, and then maybe Laura is suspicious, and you know maybe the two, I don't know, can talk about it. Maybe he overhears Laura talking to Liz, and you know 2 + 2 starts to equal 4 for him, and then at least we have some movement in the story, you know. And so I would like to see, you know, it branch out that way eventually. But first I want to see some victims. I definitely do. Even day players, you know, just let's move it.
Yeah.
Move it along.
Melissa, was there anything in the story that you'd like to see more of?
I think I'm ready, like Maria said, for some victims. I think I don't mind day players involved in the beginning dying, but eventually I want a known character to die. I think there's, when that happens, there's more, even if it's somebody that I love, it kind of makes me enjoy the story a little bit more. And I think it has more consequences for the people involved or for the characters involved if it's somebody that the audience can relate to.
Yeah.
I agree. I think, you know, stuff that kind of wimped out when it's come to that, you know, and I'm sure there's all these reasons behind it, but, you know, when they have a serial killer or murders going on and all the people that are dying are people you don't care about, you're just kind of like, well, I don't care this person's killing people, you know. And so I do think at some point, you know, it didn't have to be mass killing, although GH can use a smaller cast, but, you know, if they,
yeah,
at least one person that is, you know, a contract character and a main character that, you know, we know and that's connected to a lot of other characters on canvas so that, you know, that can impact everybody's story. You know, that's definitely something that I think they need to do in order for it to mean anything.
I wonder how Spencer is going to, you know, how he connects into all of this, you know, because I would think that living with Ryan and Laura, that maybe he'll start to get a little suspicious. I'm not sure he'll figure it out, but, you know, I wonder if he'll have some kind of part in it. Because they brought him back for a reason, don't you think? I mean, it just seemed like, you know, he really isn't needed unless there is a purpose for him in this story. I mean, I think.
Yeah, and Spencer's kind of an inquisitive boy, and in other stories in his past, he's always kind of been nosy in the adult conversations and stuff. So I think that could be a beat, that maybe he'll witness something, and then he'll start being like, that's not the Kevin that I know. Or you're not treating my grandma the way you used to, you know, something to drive.
Or maybe if he notices something between him and Ava, you know, even something like that, that gets him interested in what Ryan is doing.
You know, I think,
and maybe he can be the first victim. Oh, no, I'm kidding. I don't mean that.
No.
He's a child. I don't mean that. I take that back.
You know, I do feel like, you know, with Kevin kind of not giving Laura attention and stuff like that and being weird around her, I think Kevin, like Ryan has Kevin, and then him all of a sudden having this growing attraction with Ava, I do wonder if Laura and maybe Spencer will start, and some other people might start to be like, well, while Laura was away, Ryan was having an affair with Ava, or, you know, something like that. Because I could definitely see that coming up where there's going to be some misunderstanding there. And Spencer might be the one that starts that. You know, I hadn't thought about that. He's back for a reason, and maybe it was just to talk to Josh, you know, and stuff about guys. But I think he'll definitely play a part with his grandmother's story as well. So, yeah, he might be the first one to kind of figure it out and be like, hey, I don't think this is Kevin. I think this is a odd person or something.
Yeah, I can definitely see him, you know, kind of taking that part, you know, like looking at him weird, like, okay, there's something weird with this guy. You know, he's not the same Kevin that I remember. I'd like to see more interaction, though, with Felicia. I mean, this is really kind of her story, right? Because, you know, he stalked her, he kidnapped her. I mean, she went to jail because of him. I mean, you know, just a whole list of things. What I really wanted to see when she first saw Ryan being Kevin and he actually touched her hand, I just wanted her to have, like, some creepy feelings. You know, like, there was just something off, like she got just a a weird vibe from him, and she just didn't know why, because this is Kevin, this is her friend, and I just wanted, you know, something like that to happen. But then it was Lucy who was all, you know, Doc, what's wrong with you, Doc? Doc, oh, you must be sick, let me get you soup. You know, like, no, let Felicia be the one to say, you know, what's up with this guy? But it didn't happen, so.
Well, maybe she might be the one that, like, actually, like, takes him down again. I would like to see that. I kind of feel like Felicia's earned that. So maybe
right.
that, you know, here in the beginning, we haven't really seen her suspicious yet, but maybe they're holding on to her for the big finale or something.
Yeah, maybe towards the end she could witness him killing another person, because I know in the past she saw him killing his wife. So I think that would be another strong beat to play.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That could be interesting. She could see that and then put it together, that this is Ryan.
Right, because she saw him killing his wife, Gloria, and then she had amnesia. And what I don't remember, and I was trying to look up, is how did she get amnesia? Did Ryan drug her, or did something happen? That part of the story, I don't remember. But she came, I mean, she left Texas and she came to Port Charles, and she completely forgot about, you know, his character in Texas, Todd Wilson or whatever his name was, killing his wife. So that was kind of odd. But it would kind of be cool if, in a way, they did something like that again. Like maybe the trauma of seeing him kill someone makes her forget. But as long as she doesn't forget for a very long time.
I think that's what originally her memory loss was. It was the trauma of seeing it. So her mind shut down and she forgot. You know, she just blocked it out, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll happen again then. That could be interesting. They could do a lot of interesting stuff with this story. I'm really excited to see what they do. One thing I am kind of curious if they'll touch on again, which I was expecting them to do right away, but Alexis was Kevin's patient, and Ryan hasn't really met with her yet with this session. I don't know if they're not going to do that or not, or if they're just going to do that later on in the storyline. I know she's kind of connected right now to a few different stories. There's some Cassidine stuff kind of being teased that hasn't really taken off yet with Cassandra and the person with Doreen in the car and with her getting that watch from her mother. So I don't know if they're holding off on some of her story right now until they can pick that up again. But I thought it would be interesting to have for her to have a session with Ryan, because her whole therapy with Kevin was that she has really bad taste in men, you know, and her ex-husband tried to kill her, and, you know, she's this feminist and she's a very strong woman, and she basically lets these men tear her down. And so I thought it would be interesting to see Kevin's take on that, what he would feel about that, since he's a lot more psycho than what she's ever dated, but, you know, since he's just kind of a bad guy himself, whether he would be like, you know, oh, hey, you have great taste in men, or if he, twist around and be like, oh, it's your fault, you know, something like
that. Yeah, for serial killers. I really enjoyed that therapy session, I have to say. I really did. And I was hoping that Elizabeth would have, you know, something similar, you know, that she would go into therapy also and discuss her abandonment issues and stuff. But that's true. I mean, Alexis should be part of it. And I hate saying this, but I know Carly's going to have to be a part of it also, because Carly really is a witness to Ryan. She saw him in Ferncliff, even in her drugged out state. She remembers seeing him. So I know there's spoilers about her and Laura talking. So maybe, you know, that can be a launch pad to later on having her say, well, you know what? When I was in Ferncliff, I saw you know, somebody that I thought was Kevin. And maybe, you know, then Laura will start putting some of the pieces together. I mean, there's like little pieces of the puzzles everywhere. So it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, put it all together.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of people connected to this. So right now we're just getting all these pieces of puzzles, you said, and then eventually it's just going to hopefully all come together really well. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what little pieces end up where and how everything connects and everything. Because, you know, I don't know why I didn't think of it, but yeah, Carly does know about Ryan, but she just doesn't know she knows about Ryan.
Exactly. So eventually, you know, that part of it will come out, and people mm-hmm. will start saying, okay, there's something's going on. But like you said before, I mean, Ryan, he perished in a fire. People saw, I mean, Kevin saw him die, but did anybody else see him die? Was it just Kevin? I don't remember. I think it was. So I wonder if they will, where did Ryan come from? He has no burn marks, right? He's not scarred. So where has he been all this time? I'm really curious to see how they address that. I really am.
Maybe they can somehow connect it to the Jason storyline, and he's one of the patients, you know, 1 through 5. And so maybe he was burnt at one time, but he went to that fancy clinic that Ava was
at.
That's
true.
Patched up.
That's right.
That'd be
that miracle face cream. Whatever it is that she had, yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do need some movement on the patients, you know, 1 through 5. Unless they completely, you know, forgot about it. So that would be a good way of including that, mm-hmm. that storyline.
Yeah, it would. Especially if the patients are all twins or duplicates of some sort. I think that would really fit in there.
Yeah. Oh.
Another thing that is kind of Halloween related that not really happened yet but will no doubt happen is there is going to be a kids' Halloween party, and that's attached to the storyline with Aiden. And this story hasn't been moving terribly fast, which I wish it were more front burner, but hopefully it'll get there. But something's wrong with Aiden. I'm not really sure what's going on. He seems fine at home, and he seems to get along with his stepfather just fine and everything. But he doesn't want to go to school. And I know Franco has suggested, hey, let's have a Halloween party for him, invite some friends over, and that'll maybe help him make friends. But there's something definitely going on with Aiden. I think I figured it out, but there's a lot of different theories out there about it. Melissa, what are your thoughts on that storyline?
Well, I think
it's
a bullying. Oh.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I honestly think it's a bully as well. I think he's either being verbally abused or physical. I know sometimes when that happens, you tend to shut down and internalize the situation. So I think that's what's happening at school. He's shutting down. He's becoming quiet and withdrawing into himself because of a bully.
Yeah, I'm surprised that when they met the teacher, though, that she didn't suggest that, you know, he could be getting bullied. Because if his home life seems okay and he's normal and he doesn't want to go to school, well, duh. I mean, that kind of tells you something there. So I'm just kind of surprised that, you know, because, I mean, wouldn't a teacher see that, you know, kids being mean to other students? So that part of it, so I'm not sure about this teacher, too. I mean, I know I've seen a lot of people, you know, talk about, what's up with the teacher? But I don't know. I don't know if they're really going to, do too much with this teacher other than the scenes that we saw. What do you think?
You know, I kind of feel like my first reaction to her was like, what's going on with this chick? But, you know, looking back at it, I think maybe I was just looking at it as an overdramatic soap fan, you know, because I feel like, you know, I feel like she probably isn't intended to be seen that way. I think that a lot of the stuff she brought up was more just for the audience, to get them thinking about stuff. Possibly, she did seem a little bit nosy, I thought, with some of her questioning of the parents, and I can't
yeah.
some of that stuff. But and it does seem weird that she didn't think, well, maybe some of the kids are bullying her and stuff. And teachers don't always see that stuff, and that's why it happens. You know, sometimes teachers do see it and they choose to ignore it, or teachers can be bullies too, unfortunately. So
yeah.
I do, you know, it seems like he doesn't want to be around the other kids a lot, and so that to me does indicate that he probably is either being bullied or he's extremely self-conscious about something and not comfortable making friends, possibly. So, now someone did bring up there was a scene in early October where Lulu and Nina were talking about Charlotte, and Lulu had met with Charlotte's teacher, Mrs. Tate, same teacher. She's in the same class as Eden is, and that Mrs. Tate had hinted that Charlotte is a little bit bossy, a little bit aggressive. And so when I rewatched those scenes again, I'm like, okay, wait. And they brought up Charlotte again during the conference meeting with Franco and Liz, where Liz was like, wasn't he connecting with his cousin Charlotte? So I'm wondering if Charlotte maybe is being a bit aggressive with Aiden. You know, they kind of told a story like this similar with Spencer and Cameron, where Spencer was, you know, the rich Casadine, and he was kind of snobbish and arrogant. He was always making remarks to Cameron about being poor and calling him a townie. And I could kind of see where maybe Charlotte might be doing the same thing with Aiden. With Spencer and Cameron, Spencer's a lot smaller than Cameron. Cameron's a little bit more confident, so Cameron just threw it back at him, you know. With Aiden, he's a bit more sensitive and smaller and stuff, so he probably is withdrawing a bit, as opposed to, you know.
And I keep forgetting that they're cousins, that Charlotte mm-hmm. and Aiden are cousins. And so I was reminded of that on Twitter, and it's like, oh, that's right, they are. You would think that they would, you know, get along, or that they would have hung out together. But that would be interesting if she turned out to be the bully, you know, because then you're involving Nina and Lulu and Valentine, you know, so that would be a good way to go. I'm just afraid of this Halloween party of no one showing up. And that poor little boy is going to be devastated, and he's so sweet. I just have such a bad feeling about it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope, you know. Either they don't do the party, or, you know, kids do show up.
Only a few kids will show up, and, you know, I can see Charlotte being one of them to show up, and maybe she says something at the party. If she is, you know, being the bully, we might get more clues as to what exactly is going on. Once we see, you know, more children interact and the dynamic that way.
Yeah, I'm assuming this party is going to be where we get that reveal of what's going on with Aiden. With the party thing, I am a little bit nervous, because I feel like a lot of times parents are like, oh, well, we'll just have a party, invite a bunch of kids over, and then they'll all make friends. And it's like, well, you know, the kids being picked on and stuff like that, the other kids might not come. I am hoping when he does the party, though, it's more of like a party for, like, you know, Cameron brings some friends, and Jake brings some friends there, too. So it's a little more inclusive that way, and it's not just Aiden with maybe a couple people showing up. I am interested in how that does play out, though, and I do feel like we're going to find out at that party what's going on with Aiden. One popular theory that I've seen around is that Aiden is either gay or transgendered. Now, I'm open to that storyline, but I kind of feel like it's a bit of a jump just because he likes Princess Pencil. That doesn't necessarily make him.
Yeah, I don't.
So,
I don't think they're going to go there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's really young, and the soaps are a little bit. Soaps aren't quite as daring as they used to be about those topics. So I'd be surprised if they went there. I do think it would be, you know, a very topical and interesting storyline for them to tell. And, but yeah, I don't think they're going to go there, especially since I know about that Charlotte case, since I was reminded of that again. I think it'll be more of a Bloom storyline.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, if they were going to do a transgender, it would work with someone like Cameron's age or Oscar's age, mm-hmm. you know, more so than an 8-year-old boy. Not saying that, you know, there aren't transgenders at that age, but just this show I don't think would go there with someone that young. Because it is, you know, it is a heavy material. I think the bullying is probably more like it. And let's face it, you know, how many kids liked Frozen? How many boys liked the movie Frozen? You know, and that's, you know, that had princess. That just because he likes pencils and he likes a princess, you know, so what? That doesn't make you transgender, and, you know, it really doesn't. And so hopefully they'll nix that right away, so, you know, we can concentrate on the bullying part of it, because that really is an important storyline, because this is what kids go through every day in school, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, did you have any other theories besides bullying? Or?
So I agree that I don't. Yeah, I don't think it's the transgender thing. I think he's too young, and I think, yeah, it's possible at that age, but you're not self-aware enough that you would really identify.
Mm-hmm.
What your issue was. So, I mean, they could start out with him having a little bit of those feelings if they wanted to bring it out in him later on. I just feel he's too young for a full-blown-out transgender storyline. I think being bullied fits the situation a little bit better for his age group.
Well, I think, you know, he is really young, and I do think it is possible at that age to start developing those feelings, so I don't think that's unrealistic, but I think with the soap, with them doing a storyline with them being that young, they would have to basically commit to the characters at the age of 8. And so it's like, I mean, usually kids that young, they don't really do anything that dramatic with them, because it, I mean, a soap, it's like you've done your lifelong commitment if you've done that. So I do feel like a soap opera would probably take something as a teenager. That type of story. But yeah, I was thinking there's a movie, it's from the 90s, that has Shirley McLean in it called Bruno, that is about the topic, and the kid in that movie, he's probably around like 8 or 9 or 10, and the way it's done, though, is he likes to wear dresses, but they do leave it a little bit ambiguous as to whether that means he's transgender, gay, or if he just likes to wear dresses. So, but we really haven't gone that far, though, with Aiden. We just know that he likes princess pencils, which I think more guys should like princess pencils. So,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think maybe the transgender rumor, maybe, you know, it's because of Terry, you know, so it's like, oh, okay, so that's why they brought her, because, you know, one of the kids is going to be transgender. They could still use Terry, though, in the story, if it's mm-hmm. bullying. I mean, you know, she can talk to Aiden about, you know, how when people are different, you know, they can get picked on because of things like that. So she could be useful, but yeah, I don't think it's transgender.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got some time left. Let's just talk about Halloween in general. On Soaps, I always really like the Halloween stories, and they don't do this quite anymore like they used to. They used to have like big masquerade parties and stuff, and everybody would be in costume. Now last year, I think there was only like maybe, two people that ever dressed up. Did we even have a Halloween last year? I'm trying to remember. Because they ever did.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. The last Halloween I remember was when Franco was a mime. I don't remember after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that
but
year
I'll tell you, if you Google, like, General Hospital Halloweens, and you look back on all the different Halloween parties, I was doing that yesterday, just having so much fun looking at some of the costumes. Mm-hmm. I wish they would do that again. You know, we need to have more parties and, you know, and some fun stuff like that, and they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of it's due to budget, but I feel like, you know, for certain things like that, they should maybe plan ahead for those and realize that's where the budget goes. I mean, do we really need to see people crashing through skylights and, you know, some of this other stuff they do? Yeah, or do we want to see more stuff like everybody has a party and has fun and you see a bunch of interaction going on? So I do hope
that. Yeah, and I love that.
Yeah.
I love to see characters having conversations with each other. I miss that. You know, where it used to be people would go to Kelly's and they sit down and they would talk. And you don't really see that anymore. You know, I mean, yeah, sometimes you see them in the Metro Court or whatever. But it's always, you know, the same conversations over and over again. They just need to bring back more friendships. And I think that's one of the things that's really missing. But.
Yeah, I agree. I miss the big staff interactions. Even if they only do, you know, one big party a year, I think it's important to have, you know, like they used to have the Windermere balls, and, you know, I think it's important to have a big event where everyone shows up and there's multiple storylines going on at once and things like that.
Well, and this year we can, if they have the Harvest Festival or a Halloween party, we could have Ryan creeping around stalking people.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll get rid of one or two.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe Ryan could drop Spencer off at Franco's Halloween party.
That's a good idea.
That would be, you know, intriguing, you know, serial killer, you know, dropping off. And then maybe he stays for a little bit. He interacts with Franco a little bit. You know, he got that little bit of a mystery.
That would be interesting. I didn't think of that. Yeah, you know, Spencer's there. And if they have the kids, you know, all ages kids, you know, if Cameron and Jake and everybody have some friends over, I could see them doing that. Yeah, and then that would be really interesting. And, like, maybe Frank would be like, okay, he's acting weird again.
Yeah. I sound so bloodthirsty, but I want to see Ryan, like, stalking people on the docks, you know, with his cord ready to, like, to strangle somebody or with a knife, and just, you know, like getting ready to attack someone, and, you know, he does,
yeah.
You know, because somebody else comes into the picture. But just like some creepiness, I just need to see that. Because John is so good at that. I mean, he really is. He is so good at playing crazy, but keeping it together, you know. He really does. So more of that, please.
Yeah. And I kind of think that we'll get either the first murder happening at the very end of Halloween. You know, it would kind of start sweeps. You know, I think that you know, pretty much starts into November, but I think that would be a good time for the first kill to happen. So.
Yes, I think Halloween's stupid. I do think it might be a day or two off because there was an interruption with the president in there. So I feel like Halloween might end up being like on November 1st or 2nd, you know, that episode. But I definitely want to, I think it'd be a good time to do something creepy, you know. And the whole thing, like with the, I mean, I'm thinking back from when AJ returned and he was skulking around the haunted star with that really creepy face mask on and jumped out at Carly and she passed out, you know.
I remember that. Or when Robin was creeping around with a costume on, remember that?
Oh yeah, Robin did that.
Yeah.
This is perfect timing for Ryan to put on like a mask so nobody knows who can see who he is and for him to wander around and eavesdrop on people and follow them around and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really good. Show a little bit more of his stalker tendencies and, you know, he's creeping in a Halloween mask.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we'll get, like, a party for the adults this year or not. There is that Harvest Festival that was in the press release for the Halloween episode, so it might be more of just people dressed up, going on hay rides and stuff, but do people do that in New York? I don't know if they do, but so it might be less of the costume type stuff for the grown-ups, but I am glad at least it seems like we'll get some sort of a dress-up costume thing. I know we're at Franco Luz's house with the party there, if everybody shows up.
Well, I hope they show up.
I do, too.
I feel so bad if they don't.
Yeah, the actor, what's his name? Last name's David. I can't remember the actor's name that plays Aiden Austin. It just popped out of my head. But I think he is, you know, he's so adorable and he just does a really good job at, you know, being this really sweet little kid that you want to protect and stuff. So I think it's really smart to do this storyline with him because, you know, even though it's not a storyline that I think is really front burner and getting as much attention as it should and is moving kind of slow, you know, people are talking about it because they care about Aiden and they want him to be safe and happy. So they made a Richard a story about him.
And I hope Laura gets more involved with it too, especially if it does turn out that Charlotte is the little demon who's bullying him.
I can see. Because
she's
her,
the grandmother for both of them, so.
Yeah, and I can see her kind of trying to make peace between everybody because, you know, I'm interested to see how Nina would react to it because, you know, Nina, she is kind of that innocent, ingenue type character, but at the same time, she's pretty spoiled, too. And she's demanding and stuff, and, like, when she was growing up, she just didn't get told no and stuff, and she's very doting on Charlotte and everything, so I'm wondering if someone said, hey, you know, Charlotte being a bully, if her response would be more like to do that helicopter thing and jump in there and try to shield Charlotte from it all, or if she'd
And I think she would do it more so than Lulu, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to pick between the two, I think Lulu might be more understanding, whereas Nina would say, oh, no, you know, it's not Charlotte's fault.
Yeah,
just from the conversation that they were having about how, you know, she's strong and assertive, you know. I mean, she's not a bully. Yeah, she's not bossy.
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting, too. They brought in Sasha as Nina's daughter, but some people are kind of like, oh, it seems a little too easy. What if Nina, you know, kind of freaks out about this whole thing with Charlotte and is like, oh, Charlotte wouldn't do that, leave Charlotte alone, and Charlotte can do whatever she wants. And this teacher, Mrs. Tate, what if she's really Nina's daughter and not Sasha, and she sees her mom acting like this, and there's like, oh, this is your own mom, and she's like, oh, no. I mean, that could be some drama.
Yeah, and that would be good, because I just don't think Sasha is Nina's daughter. I really don't. It's too easy, right? It just seemed like, you know, everything just fell into place, and usually it doesn't quite, you know, happen that way. But, yeah, I think if the teacher was the daughter and then there was a conflict, yeah, that would be interesting to see how that played out.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if the teacher is more, I guess, on Aiden's side, or, like, believed Aiden more over Charlotte, then there could be conflict. Especially when the truth comes out, then Nina is stuck in the middle between her two daughters.
Right. Yeah, I would be good.
I think there's a lot of interesting storyline that can just come from this. And what I like, too, is I feel like I haven't watched this series yet. It's on my to-do list, but there's a series called Big Little Lies on HBO, which normally I'm very, very against General Hospital taking cue from HBO series, because we all know what happens when they do that. But with that series, it's focused on these three mothers and their reaction to some conflict with their kids, and I think there's a murder and stuff like that, too. But you know, they did kind of focus on the three mothers involved, Lulu, Nina, and Liz, and how they handled the situation, and kind of we could get a really good female-focused storyline that people could relate to.
I would love to see that. Because the
daughters
don't always get the stories, right? I mean, they all do.
Yeah.
We really give the ladies their due. Well, we should know soon then, right? I mean, because we're getting close to Halloween. So
yeah,
I think a lot of this stuff is going to be happening really soon.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll definitely know if you're right or not with some of this. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Exciting times in General Hospital, hopefully.
Yeah.
I do have to say, you know, this summer at General Hospital was really rough, and I think that, you know, and there's some longtime viewers who I've chat with a lot and stuff who unfortunately kind of turned their TVs off a bit during the summer. I do think that the last month or so it has gotten better. And so I'm hoping that it continues on that path, because, you know, some of the stories are starting to shape up a little bit where they're about people we do care about, although I feel like we're still using a little bit too much of, like, Oscar and stuff like that, which some people do like Oscar. But they are starting to use more of their vets a bit with the Kevin story, and we are starting to see more of Liz's family through her kids anyways, even though we didn't get her parents like we hoped for. And some more friendships starting that way. So I am hoping that it kind of keeps on this path and keeps getting better, because I do want the show to do well. And so if someone did turn off during the summer, they wanted to tune back and they might like it again. Nobody's tied to a bed in a cabin anymore, so hopefully it's making some positive changes, you know. I do think that
I like the family focus a lot.
Yeah. Yes, there's been a lot more of that.
Yeah, and we need more of that.
Yep, I agree. To get back to the roots, more family focus, more friendship focus, I think would be a really good positive direction for General Hospital to take.
And less mom, please. Nobody cares about that body. Nobody cares about
40
years ago to 20.
that story is so awful, and I feel bad for, you know, some of the actors involved with it, because the story did start really interesting with Mike, and it kind of morphed into this weird, uneven story about a dead body that originally Sonny didn't kill. He just hid the body, and now he killed the body, and then the body was Margot's father. Now the body isn't Margot's father, and it's just kind of like, you know, maybe you should have just left it to the family to remove Mike, and, you know, you can.
And that
have,
was so good.
Yes.
You know, with Mike and Sonny, that was a good storyline. I mean, why did they have to muck it up with this dead body? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really do enjoy the. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I really do enjoy the Alzheimer's portion of the story. I think it's very realistic. It's very heartfelt. I just think the mob involvement kind of muddies the waters, and it kind of shifts the story in a place that it shouldn't really go.
Yeah,
I think they're just setting up Sonny's next story, don't you? Isn't this just like to set up his next storyline? And then eventually Michael either go to a facility or, you know, he won't be around anymore. But
yeah,
they should have just left it
Could
alone,
be.
You know. Yeah. Because the story got good press, too. I mean,
oh,
it's been getting really good, you know, people are noticing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I think one thing, General Hospital did that a lot this year. Which is unfortunate. Like, they did that kind of with the Me Too storyline where I was really into it. I thought this was a great message and stuff. And it still was, you know, a likable story. But then they had Kiki and Griffin sleep together and had one night stand.
Yeah.
And it still worked out okay and stuff. But I was just kind of like, well, you kind of muddied the waters a little bit there. And like, they've kind of done that with the Mike story with this body in the basement, too, where it's kind of like, you had a good thing going. You didn't need to try and add a soapy element to it.
Exactly. And they could have, I mean, they could have slept together afterwards. They didn't have to do it before, right? The story could have picked up, you know, after the trial. But, you know, they did the same thing to Alexis. I don't know if you remember back when Christina was getting beat up by her boyfriend. That was a good story. And the payoff should have been that, you know, the boyfriend should have been arrested, or he should have, you know, realized what he was doing, maybe go to counseling, whatever. You know, it was a good, important social story. But then they had Alexis run him over. So it, like, it went from Chrissy being beat up to all of a sudden now Alexis is, you know, is the criminal. And it kind of cheapened the whole storyline. I hated that they did that because it would have been a really good story because he was a real creep, that guy. But, I mean, he got what he deserved, but at the same time, I wanted him to pay, you know, I wanted him to people to know what he had done. And he turned out to be like the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes, you know, I think sometimes writers are like, oh, we have to make this extra soapy. And then they add something really far out dramatic. It was okay to begin with. You didn't do that. So I do see that happening with a lot of the stories. But hopefully some of these other stories are planned out a little bit differently that we're watching right now. I don't really see how they can make the whole body in the basement story good. I really don't.
I don't either.
Should have been more of Margot just wanting to get the bad guy, leave the body out of and stuff like that. But anyways, we are heading towards the end of our time frame here in our show. Any last thoughts about what we're looking forward to?
Well, with me, it's just, you know, it's Kevin's story and what's going to happen with Laura and what's going to happen with Aiden. And since that's all coming up soon, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. And hopefully, you know, that'll be some good storytelling.
Okay,
great. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the Halloween episode. Also, you know, to see a little bit more creepiness with Kevin or with Ryan pretending to be Kevin. And, you know, just to see the direction it takes when he actually starts killing people.
Okay. Same here. Well, thank you for joining me. And everybody, thank you for listening. And we're done.
All right. Thank you.
Well, bye. Thank you. It was fun. Bye.